All right, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. In fall, of course, we start talking about trout fishing because the water is cooling off. The water levels have been low, but they are improving with these rains. And let's get on the air here and find out what's going on with stocking of trout streams in North Carolina, Bill.
That's right. And to do that, we're going to head on over to the Coldwater Research Coordinator of the Inland Fisheries Division. Anyway, Jake Rash is going to join us. He is from North Carolina Wildlife Commission on the Carolina Outdoors. Jake, welcome.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Don kind of kicked it off, but weather's impacted the kickoff of our fall trout season, and it's changed around some of our stocking programs for North Carolina, especially with the hatchery-supported and delayed harvest waters. Jake, what does that mean to you there in the Coldwater Research Division when this goes on, and what are we looking like now that it's cooled off a bit?
Yeah, luckily we've gotten that change in weather and have seen fall kind of show up finally. And as you mentioned there, October and the fall is a big time of year for our stock trout, particularly those delayed harvest waters that start getting stockings that first week in October. And with that warmer weather that we had and water conditions, we had to delay some of those and not get them out as we had initially planned or anticipated. But the good news is with the change in the weather, the stream conditions have gotten to the point where everything that should have been stocked has been. So we're back on schedule for all those delayed harvest stockings, and we're looking at November and counting on it being cool enough for those stockings as well. And so things got off to an unusual start for those October delayed harvest streams, but we're hopeful that we'll continue on a normal path like we have in years past going forward.
Well, on a happy note, I'm getting a lot of reports of the size of the fish being much better than normal this year. A lot of 12 and 14-inch fish stocked this year.
Well, that's great. We've got a tremendous group of folks that work at our production facilities and do a great job. And you know, those conditions in the stream might be tough for anglers, but if it's warm, our conditions can be challenging at our hatcheries as well. So everybody that works at those facilities are dedicated, and they do a really good job of trying to provide a fish that folks are excited to see. And you know, across our programs, we want to make sure that those resources are available and people are excited and have a bunch of places to go and a lot of variety and are excited to come back.
Well, tell us about the research division of your job. I mean, you're not the guy that's out there throwing these fish in the stream. You're a little more involved.
Yeah, I work on, as you noted, the research side of things. I do a lot of work with our local biologist and try to take a look at questions and answer questions that help us make better management decisions. For example, I do a lot of work with native brook trout. You know, North Carolina's fortunate to have a lot of native brook trout populations, and as our state's only native trout, they're a species that mean a lot to a lot of people, and obviously from a biological perspective, they're really important. And so do tons of work with them where we're trying to find where they're at, or we take a look at their genetics to understand if there's been any historic influence of stockings. And then recently we've really been able to increase our efforts to try to restore populations, and so that means there's a place where brook trout should have been, and we're able to take the appropriate fish and put them back in those streams and get populations going again. And so from that to reservoir trout research, like at Lake Appalachia, which is as far west as you can go, trying to find a management mixture to grow big trout in the lake, it kind of runs the spectrum. So I'm pretty fortunate to be able to work on that side of things. But at the end of the day, we're always trying to make the best decisions that we can, and to do that, we often do a lot of research to try to answer those questions and get as much information as we can to make those decisions.
The voice you hear right there is Jake Rash. He's with North Carolina Wildlife Resources. He is the Cold Water Research Coordinator, talking to the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's, Don Yeager right there, Bill Barty right here. And Jake, you kind of alluded to it for a bit, but talk to us and let our listeners know what the geography is of cold water in North Carolina. This is mainly entirely the western part of the state. From where to where, north to south, east to west?
Yeah, our program, the Public Mountain Trout Waters Program, which is what the Wildlife Resources Commission manages, we're located in the western 26 counties of the state. So when you think of cold water, you think about the mountains, and that captures that. And there are some places that we end up stocking because it's seasonally cool enough. But when you talk about, wild trout resources, and you're thinking about the mountains because they need that clean, cold water. And when you think about brook trout populations in particular, those are even higher up in the watersheds. Most of our brook trout are over about 3,000 feet in elevation. And so North Carolina is a really neat state when it comes to trout in those cold water fisheries, because we've got a lot of them. Spans a large area, several thousand miles of water, several thousand acres of impoundments that have trout, whether they're wild or stocked. And one of the great things about North Carolina is the fishing's, it's pretty much year-round. In some states, particularly out west, it gets pretty cold fast, and the weather can be real harsh. But generally, North Carolina, you can fish through the winter, and there's a variety of things, from those small headwater streams to larger rivers that you can float down. So if you're interested in trout and trout fishing, it's a pretty good spot to be.
Now, trout rely on aquatic insects for their primary food source. What's the condition of our insect life in our streams?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So North Carolina, when we think about our trout waters, one of the things where we're a little bit different from other states, even surrounding states like Tennessee or Virginia even, that have more limestone-based geology, which is a lot more productive than ours, because our streams are driven by essentially granites, which isn't as productive. And so the primary productivity, or that initial amount of forage and those insect bases, ultimately the insect communities may not be as dense as some of those other states, but they're certainly adequate. And so those communities ebb and flow, just like those trout populations, but they're consistent enough to provide those fisheries across the state.
Well, it always,
or across the mountains, yeah.
Always amazes me how a trout stream can bounce back. I mean, we've had severe droughts, and now we're getting some rain, and those insect populations and things really seem able to recover pretty quickly for some pretty bad conditions sometimes.
Nature's amazing. Whenever it has an opportunity, it seems to find a way. And in trout populations, and everything that goes into that is no exception. And we definitely see that with the fish as well. It ebbs and flows. It's real cyclical. You may go to your favorite trout stream this year, and it's amazing, and next year it may not be as good, and then 2 years later it's back. And that's kind of consistent with our populations. And there are always exceptions, where some are always good, but in general they do ebb and flow.
Well, and along that line brings me to ask a couple questions about diseases like whirling disease that we occasionally hear a lot about, and those kind of things seem to kind of come and go as well. Are we in danger of any problems like that in North Carolina?
Well, that's another part of the research that we do. We're actively looking at those issues. We're involved with a multi-year project with Auburn University, which has one of the world's best fish parasite and disease laboratories, and we're taking a look at, in particular, that the parasite that's responsible for whirling disease, and we're also taking a look at what are called gill lice, these little copepods that can show up on the gills of trout. And so at this point, we're still documenting where those things are across the landscape and trying to learn more about, you know, truly what it means to the fish or the populations. But in general, the concept of those issues fall under aquatic nuisance species, which are, you know, things that shouldn't be here. And so from the larger perspective, we're always, you know, concerned and trying to make sure that the stuff that shouldn't be here doesn't get here. And then if it happens to, figure out ways to potentially, you know, minimize those risks and prevent further spread. So that's definitely on, you know, the top of the mind.
Jake Rash, Cold Water Research Coordinator for the Inland Fisheries Division, North Carolina Wildlife Resource Commission. Thank you, as always, for coming on with the Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's on the Carolina Outdoors and talking all about it. We got to get you back on because we didn't get to ask you exactly where the biggest fish are being stocked so we can head to those streams and try to catch those things. Thanks you for being on. For Dine Yeager, I'm Bill Barty. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.